Second Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. This is really a continuation from chapter 3, but I'm going to pick up here in about verse number 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our religious talk." Oh, that's not what that says, is it? "That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." And if God will help me this morning, I'm going to talk to you on the subject of this treasure in earthen vessels. The Word of God says in verse number 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." When we look at this treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, what is the treasure that we have? I know and I understand that has to do with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the treasure that we have, the treasure that we have in our hearts this morning, in this earthen vessel, is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we see this, I'll give you a little alliteration, and I want you to get a hold of this. What does it mean, in the face of Jesus Christ? A way for you to understand that could be to say by the face of Jesus, through the face of Jesus. And all of this goes back to the Old Testament story. You remember when Moses went up onto Mount Sinai, and Moses came down and the Shekinah glory of God had so illuminated the face of Moses that they could not look upon the face of Moses for the glory of God that was on Moses. And that glory was on the face of Moses. And this scripture is talking about, we see the glory of God manifest as a reflection on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that also correlates that, how do we see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, He manifests Himself in the hearts of believers. He manifests Himself through believers, and He manifests Himself through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you something this morning that, if you can put this to your heart, this will change your life. This will change your outlook. I beg you, don't miss what I'm saying to you this morning. I know the world is beckoning, it's calling you, trying to get your attention everywhere else but on this message. But I want you to hear me this morning as I talk about the person of the treasure. The person of the treasure. I think about what an arrogant and humanistic, self-righteous insult it is to the grace of God for any fallen son of Adam to assume for a moment that God would rescue you out of eternal destruction just so you could enjoy this life and so you don't have to go to hell. That's an insult to God. And we may have a grossly inflated opinion of our own value, but Scripture says God's angry with the wicked every day. Scripture says in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind, what's the carnal mind? That's your natural thinking ability. That's the only thing a lost man has to work with, your natural ability. And because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Do you know what the word enmity means? The word enmity means a mutual hatred. It means God hates you and you hate God. You say, I don't like that. Well, take that verse out of your Bible. The Word of God said the natural human instinct is to hate God. And God hates your natural human instinct. It's fallen. It's corrupt. It's dirty. It's what Christ had to bleed and die to pay the sin debt for. And Brother Danny, I thought about you when I thought about this. Brother, we've shared this in common so many times that we often pose the question, why would God save a wretch like me? And I understand the genuine humility when a lot of people ask that question with the right motives. They frame it this way many times, like, what in the world did God ever see in me? But in the absence of any false humility this morning, the answer is abundantly clear. God didn't see anything in you. This don't have one thing to do with you. And if you think it does, you don't understand God and you don't understand His salvation. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1, David's ascended the throne. And David's remembering the covenant that David had with Jonathan. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1, David said, is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness unto him for Jonathan's sake? Now, wait a minute. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when Abraham sent his elder servant out and he told him to go into Mesopotamia, into the city of Nahor, to get a bride for his son Isaac, and he sent that servant out and he parked them 10 camels over there by that well, and he waited for a little old maiden girl to come out, and he said, Lord, if you prospered my master and if you blessed this, he said, you let this girl come out and offer me water and offer water to my camels, and then there come little old Rebecca come along and said, sir, can I get you a drink of water? Can I help you with something? God did not send that servant to find a husband for Rebecca. God sent that servant to find a wife for the son. God didn't come looking for you just so he could help you. God came looking for you because he had a covenant with his son, and he promised his son the heathen for an inheritance, and he promised his son a righteous bride without spot, without blemish, without anything. And God cut you in on his deal. It ain't about you and it ain't about me. Glory to God, it's high time the church and the other people stop acting like God owes us a favor. If God looks on such a dead dog as I am, it's pure grace, grace. And he didn't do it for my sake, he did it for Christ's sake. God didn't save me for my sake. He saved me for Christ's sake. That's where a lot of folks have messed this thing up thoroughly. It's humanism. It's humanism. You're worried about how you feel. You're worried about what's happening to you. You're worried about you not going to hell when you die. But it's not about you. It's about Christ. And if we could ever stop patting ourselves on the back long enough to recognize the preeminence of Christ and give the sweet Lord Jesus the glory and the honor that's due him, he might just come around and receive our worship once in a while. Amen. He is worthy. Yes, he is. Glory to God, he is worthy. But see, we got this thing of coming to church a lot of times, and we're so wrapped up in our troubles and in our problems and how dark and gloomy our world is and how much... God ought to just stop and name a day of the week after us, because God's so lucky to have us. Not on your life, friend. But I'm telling you what, I'm talking about the person
of the treasure is the sweet Lord Jesus. He's the center of attention. And if you could ever, that would change your whole world. If you could ever get that in your heart to understand He lives, if you're saved and He lives inside of you, all the glory, all the honor, all the preeminence, everything, all the attention belongs to Him. You ever been around one of those folks that it seems like it don't matter what room they're in, they're the smartest one in the room, and they got to have everybody's attention, and everybody's got to be looking at them all the time? Well, It's a bunch of Baptists. We always want the attention on us and what we've done and what we're doing and how, what, you know. But I'm telling you, the attention goes to Jesus. He's the person of the treasure. I'm going to tell you about the power of the treasure. The glory of God was hidden from the children of Israel when Moses came off Mount Sinai by a veil on the face of Moses. And the glory of the gospel of Christ is hidden from the Jewish nation today, the Israelites. It's hidden from them today by the veil of the ceremonial law. They can't see through it. They cannot see through the veil of the ceremonial law that's on the glory of Christ. And the glorious gospel of Christ is hidden from the lost today by a veil of darkness that Satan has placed on their minds. John chapter 1, verse number 4, said in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Did you know until God lifts the veil off your eyes, you can't comprehend the gospel of Christ? You have a veil of darkness over your face. You can't see the glory of God. My precious mother was one of the sweetest, most humble, seemingly, by everyone's estimation, one of the godliest ladies, married to a great preacher of the gospel. She drove my daddy around this country for years and years and years preaching the gospel of Christ. There came a day that my mama set me and my wife down at the kitchen table in the midst of the Flint Hill Revival. God was moving in great power. God was moving in great glory. Jesus was honored. The Spirit of God was fluttering around that place. And one Sunday night, my mama sat us down at the kitchen table. My mama sat at the end of that table, and she looked at me and Sister Lori. She said, "Sit down here, youngins." She said, "I'm going to tell y'all something that's here." This is her words, verbatim. She said, "I'm going to tell you something that's going to knock your socks off." I had no idea, Miss Sue, what's my mama going to say? She's 81 years old. I don't know what my mama's fixing to tell me, but I don't already know. My mama sat there at that table, and she looked at me, and she looked at Sister Lori, and then my mama got a faraway look in her eye. And Brother Daddy, it's like she was looking out into some other world, and she began to testify, and she said, "I have been so religious. I have been so stinking religious all of these years. I have been so religious." But she said, on a Sunday night in Flint Hill Church, and God, the Holy Ghost, visited my heart. And she didn't say it in these words, but God took the veil off of her heart. And for the first time, my mama seen the glory of God and the gospel of Christ. And my mama came home and she said, "Youngins," she said, "I wasn't able to get down in the floor and pray." And she said, "I want you to know I turned around in my lift chair and I lifted my voice up to God and said, 'God, I ain't even able to get in the floor.' Her arthritis was so bad she couldn't kneel down, but she turned around and knelt in that lift chair and called on God to save her unworthy soul." My mama got gloriously born again. Why did my mama get saved at 81 years old? Because that's when God took the veil off of her eyes. If you think you can get saved anytime you want to, you have grossly misunderstood the gospel. There is a sovereign call, and God gives the invitation, and you've got to answer the invitation when God gives the invitation. Now I'm talking about the power of that treasure. And the Word of God said in here in our text in verse number 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's that mean, Miss Erica? That means God said, let there be light. And if you sit under the sound of my voice this morning and you're really saved by the grace of God, it's because there was a day that somewhere in the dark recesses of the darkness of your wicked heart, God Almighty showed up and said, let there be light. God shined the light of Jesus Christ in your heart. And if he hadn't have done that, you'd still be lost. I bless you. Yes, glory to God, he's worthy. He's worthy. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And John 1:14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What was the glory that was on Moses' face that the children of Israel could not look at him? Brother Ed, it was simply a reflection of God. In the face of Jesus Christ through the gospel is a reflection of the glory of God. And the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, reveals Christ and manifests that in the hearts of men. And then when we look on Christ, we see the manifest glory of Almighty God. And that, my friend, is when you're humbled and it makes you run to Christ with a broken and contrite heart, full of faith and attitude of repentance. Y'all have heard me preach 24 times or more in this pulpit, but there is a divine revelation. There's a supernatural revelation. God's got to reveal some things in you. What's he revealing, Brother Danny? He's revealing the face of Jesus. He's revealing the glory of God. And when you really see Jesus lifted up and you see who he is, and you begin to be sorry for your sin, and there's a part of you that wants to crawl in a crack in the floor and hide, it's because you see who it is you've hurt and who it is that your sins nailed to the cross. God reveals that to you, and you see how precious he is, and you see how low down and sorry you are. And if you ain't never been put in that place, you ain't never been born of the Spirit of God. The glory. Hallelujah. I talk about the power of the treasure, and I'm going to finish with the place. The place of the treasure. Scripture said it's in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that means a looking glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God said when you look into that, it will change you. It'll cause that glory to get off on you. The glory that was seen in Moses was a reflection of the glory of Almighty God. The glory that's seen in the face of Jesus is a reflection of Almighty God. And when the world looks at the church, the born-again children of God, the born-again bride of Christ, they are to see, and they have a right to see, a reflection of the glory of Almighty God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Genesis chapter 1, I'll finish up along here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made stars also. He made the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. And I don't know, I'm in a different boat than most of you folks are in, but there's something special to me about when that moon is absolutely as full and bright as it can be, and how that moon lights up things. And I don't have the rod cells in my eyes the way you do. That those are light conductors. I can't see in the dark the way you can. But Jeremy, I wouldn't be much of a coon hunter. I can't see in the dark. But there's something so special about when that moon is so full and so bright, and it just lights up the yard and illuminates things just like there was a light on outside. But Brother Danny, you do know and you do realize and you do understand that the moon by itself has no light. There ain't no light in the moon. When the moon's full, it's just a reflection of the sun. Do you understand the sun's Jesus Christ and the moon is the church, the born-again children of God? We are to be a reflection of Jesus Christ in this dark world and illuminate the world around us. And the Word of God said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I wouldn't hurt your feelings and I wouldn't offend you for the world, because I love you and you're my friends. But I need to tell you this morning that in your flesh you ain't nothing but dirt. Now I realize there's a few of you think you're high grade potting soil. We'll just leave that right there, won't we? But I got news for you, dirt's dirt. And dirt ain't got no power to do nothing, and you can't help. I'm going to tell you what religion does with this vessel. What that vessel, Brother Ed, that's this mortal body that holds that treasure. You know what religion does? I miss Brother C.L. being here because he's a mud man. He knows how to mud sheetrock and clean that stuff up and fix that stuff. But you know what, Jeremy, you know what religion does? Religion tries to put a coat of mud and a fresh coat of paint on that vessel. Brother Danny, there's some folks walking around, if they smile, their face would crack. They got so much mud and so much paint put on them. I ain't talking about you ladies wearing makeup. I'm talking about wearing religion. I'm talking about wearing religion today, putting mud in the cracks and a fresh coat of paint. And if we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and we do, and the Scripture says so, I'm going to ask you a question. If you got this treasure in an earthen vessel, Miss Judy, how's the light get out? You're going to have to be broke. You're going to have to be broken. Verse number 8 said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that in the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I'm not talking to a bunch of kindergartners this morning, okay? And I'm not condescending and I'm not looking down on you. There's folks in here with a lot more life experience than I'll ever have. And there's folks in here who's had a lot of heartaches and a lot of heartbreaks. But I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Morgan, life will break you. Life will crack you wide open and life will poke you full of holes. But when you're broken, Miss Sue, what's inside's what's going to pour out. You ladies ever stick something in the refrigerator and find out later it was leaking? And you look in the refrigerator, if it was pickle juice, you're going to have pickle juice all over everything. If it was chicken broth, you're going to have chicken broth all over everything. I'm telling you, whatever's in the vessel's what's going to leak out. And Brother Ed, it's going to get on everything. That's why some of the people around you are in the mess they're in because of what you leaked on them. Are we having fun now? Because you will leak what's on the inside of you. And I ask you this question. I see a lot of folks leak a lot of things because I see a lot of hurting people. I see a lot of folks leak pride. We saw some of that on the telephone conversation yesterday. We see a lot of folks leak pride. They're leaking arrogance. A lot of folks are leaking bitterness and hatred and envy and strife and jealousy and all manner of evil works of the flesh. I see a lot of things leak out of a lot of people that say they're saved. But can I ask you an honest question before we go home today, before you chew me up for lunch? What do people see when they look at you? What are they seeing when they look at you? Because whether you can throw all the mud on there you want to and paint it up as much as you want to, you're still cracked and you still leak. And whatever's on the inside is going to come out. And I wonder this morning, do they see the glorious light of the blessed Son of God? Do they see joy? Do they see peace? Do they see love? Do they see gentleness? Do they see goodness? Do they see meekness? Do they see kindness? Do they see a Christ-likeness when it begins to come out of you? Or do they see some crotchety old pretender lying and trying to limp through life with a patched job and a cheap coat of paint? Well, I ain't going to answer that for you this morning. You're going to have to answer that for yourself. But I'll promise you, people are seeing. Because, Miss Stephanie, every one of us are leaking. Every one of us are leaking. You say, I don't leak. You're a liar. Yeah, you do. Because you're a clay vessel. You're an earthen vessel. And life's going to crack you. Life's going to poke holes in you. And sometimes life's going to bust you wide open. And the only thing that's going to come out is whatever it is in there. Miss Lori, I saw a picture of Brother Jimmy Sherlin, man of God from Seagrove, North Carolina. One of the sweetest, most humble, precious men of God I've ever met in my life. I ain't never met nobody that had nothing bad to say about Jimmy Sherlin. And if they did, they was lying. I mean, one of the sweetest men that's ever drawn a breath, full of God, full of sweetness, full of tenderness, full of kindness, full of love for folks that he comes in contact with. And can I make you an absolute promise, Brother Ken Canby? When you see somebody like that, that's sweet and holy and full of the Holy Ghost of God, you mark one thing down. You mark this down, okay? You write it down in the corner of your Bible somewhere if you want to. Somewhere along the line, they've been broke wide open. And what you're seeing them in them is just what came out when they got broke. And I'm just asking you this morning, I love you and I'm your friend, but I see how some of y'all live. And I see the reflection coming back in my face of the life some of y'all live. And I ain't getting a picture of Jesus. And I just want you to know this morning, you're going to stand before God in judgment one day. And you ain't going to be judged on the merits of Preacher Mike. And you're not going to be judged on your own merits. But you're going to be judged based on the sacrificial death, burial and resurrection of the darling Son of God, and it better be Him you're reflecting in your life. And I'm telling you, whether you like it, lump it, dump it, jump it, croak, puke, die, whatever it is you do, you're leaking. Somebody's seeing you. And the question is, what are they seeing? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels.